Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
I love that you're calling him Joe Exotic. It's like you want to say, you know what? Not his real name.
No. Still in jail, too, right?
Yeah.
To the best of my knowledge.
He waited to be pardoned by Trump, and it never came through.
So they can't use Tiger King. Its former name, the GW Zoo.
How y'all doing? Hey, here's my zoo.
Carol's husband said, quote, current husband. I'm sorry. I had a small wedding with like my kids and Carla's family that was a really, really nice place, and it was absolutely delicious. And then I had a really, really big wedding with a lot of people down at a hotel in D.C.
I got to sing it that way.
You went to that one. You were there.
Is a wedding a sunk cost or a depreciating asset?
I don't know. You have the most delicious, lovely coffee breath. Do you just have a cup of cappuccino?
I'm having coffee right now.
Yeah. Can you make me one?
No.
Well, that's nice.
That after you insulted her.
I didn't insult. How did I insult her?
Why do you have to mention her breath? She's just talking.
No, it was
beautiful.
It was
good breath.
Everybody wants coffee breath.
No, this was good coffee breath. Okay. This was fresh coffee breath.
Yeah, you
smells
ass.
Like coffee. I wasn't being an ass.
Yeah,
you just did that.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Welcome to The Mike O'Mara Show. We're enjoying our second decade of the show that has become a daily routine for thousands of listeners in great places like Mammoth Cave, Kentucky, Essex County, England, Chattanooga, Tennessee, O'Fallon, Missouri. That's a good one.
You like that one?
Parma, Ohio, Arnhem, Gelderland in the Netherlands.
Yes, it's a county and a region and a country, I believe.
That's exciting. The Mike O'Mara Show is on now. Hopefully you had a very nice weekend. For our friends in Louisiana, we want to say hang in there. That sounds pretty horrible.
Yeah.
And just a weird,
terrifying,
depressing, horrible weekend in the news all around. And, you know, it's strange. I just found myself searching for information and not really being able to get it as easily as I wanted to. So, anyway, we're here, and lots of renovations being done in my studio down here in Florida, Fort Myers, Florida. And I'm very discombobulated myself today because it went right up to the showtime. So even though I don't partake, our first guest on the show would be somebody that I would be peppering with questions, because it's time for those of you that enjoy, it's time to talk weed.
Yes.
Yes.
We're going to do a deep dive on Mary Jane and talk to Paul Henderson. Paul is the president and interim CEO of High Times magazine. He has spent the last several years focused exclusively on the cannabis space.
Mm.
I would assume that's the biz of cannabis.
Yes, all of it. The whole deal.
From Humble Beginnings is a counterculture lifestyle publication. High Times has evolved into a global cannabis brand operating in diversified business segments with multiple revenue streams. Since 1974, is that when it originated, Rob?
Yes.
Is that when it came on the scene?
Yeah.
High Times magazine has been the number one resource for cannabis news, culture, brands, and marijuana legalization laws. And I would have to say he's done pretty well.
Yes.
And they've done pretty well. Prior to joining High Times, Mr. Henderson served on the board of Cultivate Capital. That's a Calgary-based cannabis financing company. He was managing partner for Matchbox Partners, a cannabis consulting firm focused on helping cannabis businesses thrive by providing financial forecasting, management, and assisting with compliance and marketing. He is joining us right now. Let's bring in Paul Henderson, and let's talk about the state of cannabis, which I would assume is pretty good right now.
It's literally High Times.
I would say it's probably a golden era for it, sort of, right? I mean, it's being more and more legalized everywhere you look.
So
I've got a list of questions for him, and is he here?
Yeah, we just have admitted him. There he is.
There he
Thank
is.
You.
All right, very good. Let's bring
Paul
him in here right now.
Henderson joins us on the program.
I'm not surprised if it's taking a little longer.
But just this is
there's my first joke.
Yes.
Of this. And, but then again, oh, there he is.
Okay. This is probably a lot better. I'm just going with the cell phone.
Good man.
Sorry, guys.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah.
You got
the
audible in place.
Fleet of foot.
Appreciate that.
Pony, get that other one out of here.
Yes.
Pony.
Thank you. He's removing them now.
Yes.
I'm looking as we speak.
All right. So we finally, jeez, what are you, high? anyway, Paul Henderson is with us. We gave you a nice little bio, Mr. Henderson, and I guess the first question I would have, first of all, sorry we were tardy. Sorry we were late.
No,
and we appreciate you joining us. I, you know, in your bio, I didn't see where High Times is based. So where are you out of? Where does the magazine originate from?
I'm actually sitting in Venice, California, Venice Beach, although most of its history was based in New York City. I'm rarely in the office, so this is a rare occasion that I'm actually here. I'm usually on the road visiting different sites, different states. But headquarters is in Venice Beach. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, there are two causes. I guess you can call them causes.
Yeah.
In my lifetime that I have watched. Political causes. In the news causes, things that require lobbying, things that require legislation, things that require a lot of ground, on the ground activity to get their way. I think that if you look at laws affecting the gay community and you look at laws affecting the marijuana community, I consider those two, when strictly speaking legislatively, I consider that to be a pretty successful run. We are not where we were 30, 40 years ago when it comes to marijuana. So my question to you, Paul, is the state. What is the state of cannabis? And I'll speak specifically about the United States right now. I would think it's good times for all.
It is good times, but it's still incredibly challenging, right? I mean, we've got to deal with not just state by state, but even local governments, right? So some states like California gave all the power to the local municipalities, and some states manage it from the state level down and then told, you know, the operators to go find a spot to operate. So, you know, we're dealing with local governments, we're dealing with state governments, we're dealing with the federal government. And so when you layer all those things together, you have to have an arsenal and an army of lobbyists and lawyers. And, you know, it's a bit of a mess, but if you look at a glass half full size, this side of the equation is that actually is holding a lot of big companies out of the market. So it allows smaller companies to really, deal with complexity, but, you know, also have the opportunity to build sizable businesses before, you know, who knows, pharma or tobacco comes in and tries to squish everybody.
Ultimately, do you see that, Paul, that when you're talking about these corporate monsters, when they do get involved eventually, because you know they're going to, that's going to change the landscape dramatically and perhaps will, I don't want to say push out, but certainly absorb the little guys that are out there doing it right now saying, hey, mom, dad, I'm moving to Oregon. I'm just curious.
You know, it will to a certain extent. I think what's really going to be interesting is to see, what happens at the federal level. So, and what I mean by that is the federal government simply going to deschedule cannabis, which means that they're going to allow the framework to exist, or are they going to actually come out with a federal bill? And how are those things between states and the federal bill, how are they going to actually morph together? I tend to believe that it's already gotten so far down the road and the states have their own complex setups that the federal government is really just going to deschedule, which opens up things like banking for us. It opens up interstate commerce to a certain extent. Some states might try to protect themselves. But you're going to see a lot of consolidation. I think it happens in every industry. I think some of those states want to try and keep the small business going. You see a lot of legislation around that in new states because, you know, Massachusetts, you can only have 3 stores as one entity, right? So they're trying to limit that consolidation. So I don't know. They're going to come in a big way. You know, how many years off is it? I don't know. We're just head down building as fast as we can. You know, maybe we're a takeout target or maybe we're the consolidator. So who knows? We'll see.
You know, one of the things I heard growing up my whole life when I heard the legalization argument was legalize it, tax it, benefit everybody. Is that still the anthem when it comes to the legalization people?
Yep, there's no question. That's it, right? If you prohibit something, it just pushes it into the black space, black market. It's always going to be found. And ultimately, people are consuming cannabis in the state, in the city, wherever they're located, they're just not getting any tax revenue from it. So this is one of those things that people spend their disposable income on. And, you know, it should be regulated. It should be kept out of the hands of kids, and it should be taxed to help fund, you know, important programs.
My biggest surprise, Rob, I'll get to you in just a sec. Yeah. I wanted to say one more thing because look, it's my job to be funny as well as serious. And I'm a perfect person to do this interview because I am not a person who has partaken based on 1980. It was either 85 or 86 when I had my paranoid attack.
Right.
I won't go into that.
It is
I won't
a great
bore
story,
you
though.
With that, Paul. Okay. But down here, being 62 in Florida, and out with my pals, my elderly pals, I am probably in the last couple of years, I've been gobsmacked by the amount of consumption among senior citizens when they're out. I mean, edibles, everything. They're out there every day. And, I'm talking to a guy on the first tee one day, my buddy from New England. I said, man, I had a terrible night last night. I wish I could have gone to sleep. And he reaches in his pocket and he holds up this little cube and goes, "You need mother's little helper." And, it's just, it's so widespread now as far as consumption. This isn't like it was when I was growing up where the old folks were like, "You kids, you pot smokers over there." No, this is an accepted thing now among all generations, isn't it?
It's absolutely. And it's funny because we talk a lot about who's the target demographic for High Times. It's the hardest thing to pinpoint because we go from 21 to 80. And right. You would be shocked. I mean, you wouldn't be shocked because you just explained it. But most people are shocked at the level of consumption with, the 50, 60 plus crowd. And it is generally the gummies, the topicals, the other things. They're not necessarily, lighting up joints. But there's just so many different variations of cannabis that it's pretty fascinating to watch and see who really walks into our stores.
Rob, I know you wanted to ask Mr. Henderson something.
I did have a question. When you go back to the taxation and the legalization angle of that, it's so easy, and you see this a lot, a blanket statement of it's just like prohibition. And when they legalized drinking again, I guess in 1933, it was largely driven so we could, stop the mob from moving the liquor and we could tax it as a government. I say we as a country and benefit from it. But does that argument stand up if there's already been so many advances at the community and state level? Is it going to make it harder for that to happen, to really benefit from a blanket legalization nationwide?
And that's why I actually think that the federal government won't actually pass an entire bill.
Okay.
And I think what they're going to say is, look, we're so far down the road. Every state has its own process set up that if we simply deschedule, open up borders, there's this 280E tax provision in the IRS code that prohibits cannabis companies from writing off standard business expenses because they consider us illegal drug dealers right now.
Sure.
And so that goes away.
It's just funny when I hear that. I can't help it. It makes me laugh.
It's amazing. And I always laugh because there's so many complexities and nuances in this space that I feel like if you can be successful in cannabis, you can almost go do anything, right? Because we have to jump through so many hurdles and hoops. And back to your original question, the federal government wants to place an excise tax on top of the already expensive local and state taxes. I think that's inevitable. That's going to come. That's how we're going to get the descheduling is there's got to be money involved. And I'm just not sure exactly, how it's going to work, who's going to collect the taxes on behalf of the federal government, et cetera, et cetera. So
in an ideal,
that's yet to be seen.
In an ideal High Times world, who would you like to see with the bulk of the consideration, local, state, or federal? I'm just curious what works best for you guys.
Well, the federal, right? Because doesn't that give you a blanket? Let's use federal banks and let's unlock all the vaults of cash.
Stacks of cash?
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
Stacks. So, basically. I mean, we want to see that happen. I joined this industry in 2016, and I kind of thought, man, within 5 years, something's got to happen at the federal level. Well, we're here. It's still a couple of years away. So we've already gotten down the state thing and the local thing.
Right.
The states know who we are. They know who good operators are. Really layering on top of that, the federal government and kind of them getting their act together, that's the next big thing to fall.
How, if you don't mind, from a brand perspective for High Times, you talk about your audience, like this, your the evolution into digital media.
Mm-hmm.
How has this renaissance and almost acceptance of this culture, as Mike said earlier, changed the way that you operate a brand like High Times?
So there's a couple of layers to that. So, we're best known for the printed magazine, and, all outside of COVID, where the publishers stopped actually printing magazines, we've been printing every month for 47 years. We've talked about going away from it, but the reality is it's like a staple in somebody's home now. It's a coffee table type piece. It's a conversation piece. So we continue to print it. But HighTimes.com was actually registered before Google.com, if you can believe it. So the family that originally started High Times was so forward thinking. We now have, 15 million social media followers between Instagram and Facebook. And so we've really been on that bleeding edge of finding the consumers where they are and really talking about them, right? High Times was like the freedom fighting machine, right? Like back in the day, it was the only place people actually could find any information on cannabis. And so that's the media business. Then in 1988, we start the Cannabis Cup business, which is the events. So the competitions and live festivals. So we've been doing those around the globe, crowning the best cannabis in each market for decades. And then the newest evolution is where I came in a couple of years ago, is actually opening retail stores, delivery service, and High Times branded products. So, we kind of, while we supported the industry from that aspect, we didn't really touch the plant, as we call it, for, our entire history until now. So now we're using the power of the brand to gain that immediate trust with consumers coming in. They know that the products that we're carrying in our stores are the highest quality the state has to offer. And we're on an M&A warpath right now, and we're building a very sizable business. So anyway, there's been a couple evolutions of the business.
Fascinating.
What is the number one seller? What is the number one High Times brand product? What is the what's the number one piece of swag you sell at the magazine? What is it?
So flower reigns supreme. So, and 40% of sales in any retail store, not just ours, are going to be the actual raw flower. Another 10 to 15% is pre-rolls. Mostly I'm speaking about the West Coast. I think it holds true on the East Coast as well. Mm-hmm. High Times eights flower is the number one seller, in the store. So, eventually the vape pens and the other things will chip away at those percentages, but, people like to smoke raw flower.
Mike, you would be a pre-roll guy. And there's no way you're sitting there rolling your own joints. You're buying them pre-rolled.
I'd be a vape
gummy
guy.
I thought I'd be a gummy guy.
Yeah. When I plunge in on my 8 years from now, my 70th birthday, when I plunge in, I'll let you know. But I'm going to experiment. I'm going to do that. And you know what? I've got to fly through these. We appreciate you. I know you're a busy man. I want to fly through these questions.
Yeah.
That I hold in my hand right here, because I'm very curious, because I'm a rube when it comes to weed. I don't know a lot about it. What is the biggest innovation as far as the product that you have seen? Not at High Times, but in weed
overall,
in general. What's the biggest innovation?
Biggest innovation is vape cartridges. So actually taking the plant, extracting the oils off of the leaves. It's a process much like other extraction processes with lavender and whatnot. It's just new to cannabis, and then putting it into the vape cartridges and consuming the oil products is probably the biggest thing in the last decade.
Next question. Why are your people so passionate?
High Times is in the industry in general, they love this plant, right? They see so many uses for it. There's so many medical benefits that, the government saying this is illegal and you can't do that has just rallied troops around a singular mission, which is getting the plant into the hands of the people.
What is, next question, what is something we might not know about herb?
That it's consumed at a much greater percentage than you might imagine. in every walk of life, every socioeconomic status, it's unbelievable. But I didn't grow up with this. I'm much like you, Mike. I came from a very conservative religious family. And so me entering this space and realizing that I say everybody consumes, that's pretty wild.
Is there anyone, Rob, I'm on my question, but yeah.
Go ahead.
It just occurred to me, anyone at the magazine work there named Herb?
No.
Okay, just checking, because I thought he'd be really
worth interrupting. That was worth interrupting. I like that. All right. Paul Henderson, by the way, the CEO of High Times, is our guest right now. This is an opinion question for you. You don't have to answer it if you don't want to. It's kind of putting you on the spot. Who, in your opinion, Paul, bigger pothead, Seth Rogen or Joe Rogan?
Well, I know how much Seth Rogen consumes, so I'm going to go with him. I don't know Seth about Rogen. Joe Rogen, but
okay, all right. Edibles, joints, or vape pens, in your humble opinion?
Joints.
Really? Traditionalist?
The purist.
Yeah. Old, would that be old school? Yeah. Huh? That's kind of old school? That's good.
That's a little old school.
Okay. You are on a desert island. You're a younger guy. You're not, I thought you might be longer in the tooth. When first I heard the, you know, I just envisioned the president of High Times magazine being around in 74. And I pictured you with, gray, stringy. Anyway, so you're on a desert island with only one artist's album. Do you take the Grateful Dead or do you take Fish?
Ooh, good question.
Grateful Dead.
Grateful Dead, very good.
He's old school.
He's old school, which is good. I think that for the publication he's with, that's good. And the last question I have you ever been surprised by someone that we might not know who was an enthusiastic cannabis supporter? And you're like, this is the last guy I would ever think would be on Team Weed. I like it when you have to.
That's
pause.
A good question.
Yeah, thank
I know,
you.
Because
that's why I do what I do, pal. Thank you.
most of them are pretty typical. I would say maybe right now, it might not be a surprise, but Gavin Newsom, the governor of California, is he was partly elected by the dollars that we contributed to his campaign because he was a big supporter of cannabis, and I don't know, people might think that's interesting, but
you think he's going to do okay out there in California with all the trouble he's got out there? What's the landscape? We have a lot of listeners out in California.
That's true
too.
I really don't know. He got this recall ballot. I think there's no chance, you know, he's actually recalled, but it's a bit of a distraction. I don't know. He's had a tough go at it. You know, I'll keep my opinions to myself, but
well, you know, the bottom line, and this is the way I've always thought about this, is that you had mentioned it briefly, the good that it does. Rob, I think you have cancer people in your family.
The last months of my mother-in-law's life, it made them quite passable for her, gave her an appetite and made her quite comfortable in a time when she lacked comfort in her life. So I'll never say anything bad about it.
And I will say that I owe my radio career to cannabis, and I won't go in any further detail than that. But it helped me. It helped me a lot. Not indirectly, but it did. And is there anything else? You're here. I know you're an advocate. You help these businesses. Anything you have? Your message from High Times Magazine to the world before we let you go. And thank you for giving us a little extra time.
Do appreciate
that.
It.
Yeah, absolutely. Look, High Times were these fighters kind of for this industry, right? We were the only place people could consume. Now with other mediums and platforms, people are getting information from everywhere. But the reality is that this is a plant. We advocate for the plant. We've been working hard ever since, you know, the first legalization effort in California in 1996 for medical. It's now starting to come together and we see a light at the end of the tunnel where, you know, people shouldn't be in jail, right? I mean, we do a lot of social justice activities, getting people released from jail and really highlighting their stories of, you know, spending a decade or plus of their lives for selling, you know, an eighth of weed. It's so silly to think about this right now. And it's silly to think that a lot of those people are still incarcerated in states where now people like us are building businesses, right? So there's so much. There's so much to talk about in this space. There's so much passion in this industry. We're excited to be a mouthpiece for those that are the most passionate. And if anybody's ever in California, please stop by some of our stores. We're soon to be in Las Vegas and many other states, but we're excited to bring cannabis directly to the people.
President and interim CEO of High Times, Paul Henderson, thank you for taking the time and joining us. We really appreciate
that.
And, don't be a stranger. If you ever want to come on again, you're more than welcome. You got a home here. Thank you very much.
I would love to. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
That's Paul Henderson, everybody.
And I'd like to thank legendary pothead Mark Riddell for hooking us up with him.
Well done, Mark. Thank you.
Was he the one? Did he do it again?
Yeah.
Of course.
Of course.
He doesn't buckle. Mark does. You know that?
All right, so now it's official. You don't have anything to do with it.
No, that's not true.
He asks Mark, and Mark sets it up.
Yeah, but I mean, like, for example, when we have Mr. James Patterson on later this week or early next week, that's one
that
I
would
did.
Be you.
Am I going to get that book from him?
It hasn't arrived yet?
No, I'm looking
it's in the mail.
To it.
I bet you get it today or tomorrow.
Yep. Because the last one, you know, I know that's the last thing he's going to want when I fanboy my ass all over him. When I climb on top of our favorite author and just make love to him about his 600-page Bill Clinton book, which was the best thing I've read in a long time. I tore through. I've never read a 600-page book that fast. 600-page books were back in college when it's like...
As I recall, Mr. Patterson is okay when you fanboy. I think he was okay with it. Yeah.
All right, good. Look forward to having them on. All right, we'll start the show. We'll come back with the homepage. Lots going on, and not all of it fun, but no. We'll negotiate it like we always do. And then later in the show, I want to tell you about what's happening right here in Florida tonight, shortly after I get done taping this show. We'll be right back with more fun and more thrills. You are listening to The Mike O'Mara Show.
Did you catch the latest bonus show? If you didn't, here's what you missed.
Let's get
done. Yeah.
I had an earache. Get it out.
He looked doofy as shit.
Wrecker.
I just met her.
Manassas.
Scalawags and scumbags.
How about a hot dog? Reach that claw. They're a dollar.
There's no paprika chips.
Our listeners,
the great,
are
the best.
Don't have a bonus show subscription? Then get one, because it's the only way to get that fifth hour of comedy power every week. Try a single episode, try a month, or splurge for an entire year. It's one of the best ways to help support TMOS. Give yourself, a friend, a loved one, or even your neighbor the gift of laughter. Click that bonus show banner now at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Thank you, Mr. Jim Amato. We appreciate that. Welcome back to the show. This portion of our program is brought to you by Coinbase. Let me tell you something. I am really, really excited about our relationship with Coinbase because I'm curious.
Yes.
About cryptocurrency. It might feel like a super secret or exclusive club, but Coinbase believes that everyone everywhere should be able to get in the door. Whether you've been trading for years or just getting started, Coinbase can help you. If you identify as crypto curious, Coinbase makes learning to buy and sell simple. Coinbase offers a trusted and easy-to-use platform to buy, sell, and spend cryptocurrency. Plus, they support the most popular digital currencies on the market, and they make them accessible to everyone. They offer portfolio management and protection, learning resources, and a mobile app so you can trade securely and monitor your crypto all in one place. Millions of people in over 100 countries trust Coinbase with their digital assets. Whether you're looking to diversify or just getting started, visit the website and check it out. It's a great time to get started. For a limited time, new users can get $5 in free Bitcoin when you sign up today at coinbase.com/TMOS. That's coinbase.com/TMOS for $5 in free Bitcoin. This offer is for a limited time only, so be sure to sign up today. That's coinbase.com/TMOS. And thank you, Coinbase, for sponsoring our show. We are very glad to have you with us. Let's get the homepage on in here.
From the four corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device, it's what you need to know. This is the homepage.
We lost a legendary TV guy, Ed Asner, from Lou Grant, the Mary Tyler Moore Show, the movie Up. He died yesterday of natural causes. He lived to the ripe old age of 91, did Ed. Asner played Lou Grant in the Mary Tyler Moore Show. That went from 70 to 77. It was must viewing in my house. He then played the same character in the drama series Lou Grant, which arguably wasn't as good as the way he was on Mary Tyler Moore.
It did have two great impressions that you do in Lou Grant. It had Mason Adams and Nancy Marchand.
Oh, that's right. Yes, absolutely. Those two. God, that goes back a long way.
Newprint strength, Mike. It's Newprint strength.
Newprint strength. He won 3 Emmys for Mary Tyler Moore, 2 more for Lou Grant. He's probably best known these days as the voice of Carl Fredrickson. I think
is that the name?
That's the name of the cartoon Widower from Up. He was doing the voice again for the upcoming Disney Plus series, Doug Days. Asner also played Santa in Elf. Which, you know, cult classic, whether you like Will Ferrell or not. And Johnny's stepfather, Sid, on Cobra Kai. I'm not a Cobra Kai guy.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't watched a little bit
Did
of that.
Did you ever interview him? I was thinking back if your paths had ever crossed with Ed Asner.
Oh, God, I don't know. I think I did, but I'm not sure.
He was a cranky guy, but a fun interview, especially recently. Past few years, he did some stuff.
In Cobra Kai, he was a real dick. Yeah. It was awesome. Just to see him play that.
Mike, can I play one quick clip to remember him by, one of my favorite moments? I believe this is
because he was great on Mary Tyler Moore.
This is from the first episode of Mary Tyler Moore when Mary is actually interviewing to be in the newsroom.
Look, miss, would you try answering the questions as I ask them?
Yes, Mr. Grant, I will, but it does seem that you've been asking a lot of very personal questions that don't have a thing to do with my qualifications for this job.
You know what? You got spunk.
Well,
I hate spunk.
That's great. Oh, that's too bad. But hey, good long life for Ed Asner. Yeah. Way to go. Last year, Carol Baskin assumed ownership of Joe Exotic Zoo in Oklahoma as part of a legal settlement, and she has officially dismantled it. She sold it to a couple last June. I thought of that as a big joint, right? Like a zoo with cages and stuff.
Yeah.
She sold it for $140,000, but it came with a few stipulations from Ms. Baskin.
Ms.
First off, the property cannot be used as a zoo or to house exotic animals for 100 years.
Mm. Could it host a morning radio show, though?
Hey, how you doing? How you doing,
man? What kind
of
zoo?
What kind of zoo is this? Secondly, the owners cannot name any business on the property after Tiger King. Its former name.
I love that you're calling him Joe Exotic. It's like you want to say, you know what? Not his real name.
Mm-mm.
No. Still in jail, too, right?
Yeah.
To the best of my
knowledge. He waited to be pardoned by Trump, and it never came through.
Never happened.
No.
So they can't use Tiger King, its former name, the GW Zoo.
How y'all doing? Hey, here's my zoo. GW Zoo.
Joe's name or even the words tiger or big cat. Carol's husband said, quote, husband. I'm sorry. Carol's husband said, I'm a monster. I'm a zombie. I've come up through the ground.
He's always watching his back.
You mustn't name it after a zoo.
The hubby said, if it became an RV park or storage unit, we don't want it named Tiger King RV Park. We would like the 20 years of mistreatment of animals there to be forgotten and be history.
Doesn't she own her own zoo? Jesus.
Yes, she does. Joseph Exotic. You may have seen this already, but if you haven't, you must. I watch. It's a teeny tiny clip, but it's so funny. Yeah. I'm so glad Carly gave me a son. It's so cute. It's so. During the little League World Series, I don't know if you've seen this clip. On Wednesday, some players from Texas were sitting in the outfield when one kid, and they just did a random shot of the crowd. Well, one kid showed one of his teammates a picture on his phone. And the other kid was transfixed by the photo, which isn't surprising. It's just a picture of a woman with big boobs.
Yep.
and you just see this kid going, doing a Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah.
The woman was clothed, which is a good thing, since the moment was captured on live TV. As for the series itself, Michigan beat Ohio yesterday to win this title. So, boy, Midwestern World Series. How about those teams from the Midwest? How about that? Internet.
TikTok.
Bitcoin.
There we go.
There it is. Almost missed that.
That was great.
All right, I have a question for you fellas. Is this tacky or totally fair? A couple from Chicago named Doug and Deidre Simmons recently had a destination wedding in Jamaica, Mon.
Okay.
And one couple who RSVP'd were a no-show. So Doug and Deidre charged them for no-showing. They say the couple told them four different times that they were coming and never called to cancel. So they sent them an invoice for $240, $120 each for each seat at the reception that they left empty. As always, the reaction online are mixed. Some people say it's totally fair to charge them since the bride and groom had to pay up front from there for them to be there. Another more folks say it's petty. Doug and Deidre say it's not about the money. They just think it was disrespectful. So where do you now? I'm wondering. There are a lot of questions I would have. I guess they didn't. They were responsible for their own rooms.
It's trashy. And,
yeah,
right?
It's trashy.
It's trashy. Yeah. It's not. Look, not no showing, not going. I know people have done that. That's trashy. The response is even trashy.
Yeah, you said that. You nailed it. It's tacky. I mean, you know what? It is disrespectful, but it's tacky to charge them for it.
But with is destination it, weddings.
Tashy? Tacky but, and trashy?
Tacky. Tashy, pashy. I lost my train of thought because you made me do that. My brain went...
Tashy's better.
This is the question I would have as far as the... When you do a destination wedding, right. don't you have things like prearranged? Don't you know like who's coming, who's staying at the hotel, that type of thing? You don't just say, we're going to be in Jamaica, show up to the wedding.
No, this is how it goes now. Yes.
How does it happen now?
So, wealthy families will say, we're going and we're paying for everything. Families
like rooms and everything?
Yes. I've seen that happen. Okay. And then I've seen, hey, we're going. We'd love you to come. This is the hotel block we have where you get a discounted rate.
So that's level two.
Level two.
Right.
And then I guess level one, if we're going to tier them up into, is, hey, we're going and you're going to help us pay for it. So here's a GoFundMe.
Yeah, and you know what? $120 a plate is not that expensive. I mean, if, as far as weddings,
I mean, who just recently got married? Who's the closest? Me.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
$140 a plate, and it was in D.C. and it wasn't that great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
In a yoga studio.
Yeah, I had all a destination
right.
wedding
so
in a,
I agree with you.
In it's Sterling, tacky. Virginia, and it was you know people some people didn't show and you know I thought Sterling would be enough to get him to come out.
I had a small wedding with like my kids and Carla's family that was a really, really nice place, and it was absolutely delicious. And then I had a really, really big wedding with a lot of people down at a hotel in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. I remember, Mike, I got to sing it that way.
You went to that one. You were there.
Is a wedding a sunk cost or a depreciating asset?
I don't know. Joe Theismann was late, though.
Wore a red jacket.
Hurricane Ida made landfall around noon yesterday as a Cat 4 near Port Fourchon, Louisiana. That's less than 100 miles from New Orleans. Cat 4 hurricanes have sustained winds between 130 and 156 miles per hour. It's a big, giant tornado. Came very close to being a Category 5. In a tragic coincidence, yesterday was the 16th anniversary of Katrina. Around 1 million people have been without power, including all New Orleans, and flash flood emergencies have been declared. I had a weekend to a Cat 3 around 6 p.m. last night. Then 3 hours later, it dropped to a 2. The storm surge was so intense yesterday that it stopped the flow of the Mississippi River near New Orleans.
Whoa!
And actually, yeah, stopped the flow of the river. Powerful, you betcha.
God.
It caused the flow of the Mississippi to reverse. That's how powerful
that's
the storm
like
was.
Biblical stuff.
The levees held, though.
Yeah, they did. The U.S. Right? Geological Survey said
I thought
extremely
talking about
uncommon.
No.
The
no.
levees. The levees?
Yes.
Shaved is a magazine.
More
I'm
exotic.
Sorry. It's Eugene. Security camera footage caught some of the destruction in Louisiana's St. Bernard Parish. There are lots of videos out there where you can see this. Last night, the first death was reported. Someone got killed by a falling tree. Obviously, this is a scary time for anyone who's medically impacted by the hurricane because local hospitals are already packed with COVID patients. So get your vaccination if you haven't done so yet. I don't know what to tell you other than, you know, wise up. That's the way I'd look at it. And now it's time for a little something. There is a 36-year-old man. He's from Georgia, and his name is Rodney Metzer. And Rodney Metzer was just sentenced to 25 years in prison for kidnapping his ex-wife just so he could pretend to save her. This poor idiot. Here's what he did. He broke into her home. They were divorced.
Yeah.
Back on... January 1st, he hid who he was by wearing a mask,
and disguising his voice. Hello? Hello, give me all your money, please.
He roughed her up, zip-tied her hands, put a pillowcase over her head, dragged her outside, and left her there. Then he went home, changed his clothes, and returned to the ex's house where she was still tied up. That's when he saved her.
Ah, nice.
The cops weren't fully buying Rodney's story, and they later discovered surveillance footage of him leaving a store with zip ties in his hands. Probably leaving the store like this. Here are my zip ties. Yay. His computer also showed searches for things like, how long before you starve to death? Rodney. There you go. The prosecutors called Rodney a master manipulator. Before this plan, he had tried to win the ex back by faking a cancer diagnosis. Rodney Metzer.
Yeah.
But that didn't work either. Looks like all he has left now is, I am an alien and I come in peace.
Yeah, that's the ticket. I come in peace only if you get married to me again. Yeah, that'll do it. Yeah, I'm the president of the United States. There we go. I'm Rodney Metzer.
All right, we'll take a little commercial break here. When I come back, I want to talk about tonight in
Big
the night. County of Lee. We'll be right back.
And now, Tales of Aviation History with TMOS P1 listener, Captain Joel Rogers.
Well, folks, from the flight deck, this is Captain Joel Rogers. On behalf of all 61 members of your Frankfurt-based flight crew, it's been a pleasure having the 36 of you on board our transatlantic flight today. We've begun our initial descent into the New York area where the weather is scattered clouds and isolated thunderstorms. As a reminder, instead of duty-free shopping on your arrival, why not visit the Mike O'Mara Show Shopping Center for all your in-flight needs? Target and Walmart have everything for your comfort and onboard snacking. Visit MikeO'MaraShow.com and click the banner to place an order. Because of the headwinds extending our flight time to 77 hours, the local time is 7:25 p.m. on May 6th, 1937. Let me be the first to welcome you to Manchester Township, New Jersey. We know you have a choice in rigid airship travel, and we thank you for flying to Hindenburg.
It's amazing that a guy that sounds that American would be flying on a Nazi rigid airship.
Well, they actually had an alliance with American Airlines at the time, so maybe...
Really? Hey, if you had to create a highlight reel of your life, what heartwarming memories would you include in it? And are these moments waiting dormant on old tapes and film reels? Sad, right?
Yes, sad.
Sweet.
Yeah, yeah. It's a waste is what it is, and it's in attics or closets or lying around where, you know, down in the basement. With Legacy Box, you can reclaim and preserve your memories, and you can create a digital collection of the moments that have shaped your family and ensure they're always within reach. I love this idea because my son's 8. When he gets a little older, I'm going to share a lot of this stuff with him, including a great video I did of my mom. The milestones, the homecomings, the stories, sharing them is the best way to ensure that they're never forgotten. Legacy Box is the easiest way to have outdated media digitally preserved to DVD, a thumb drive, or the cloud. Legacy Box is so easy. Pack and send. Their team digitizes everything you have. They do it by hand. Then you enjoy perfect digital copies preserved forever. Effortlessly. Legacy Box is something you can order in minutes and enjoy forever, just like we all did. Now's the perfect time to turn your aging tapes and films into a digital archive that's safe forever. I can see my folks whenever I want, and Rob knows that even with both kids in college, their faces and voices are just a thumb drive away.
Not gonna lie, I watched Robert go to preschool this weekend. It was great. It was so great.
Oh my God, were you having an adult beverage when you did that?
Yes, I was. It was salty from tears.
Were you blubbering a little bit?
A little bit. It's dear. Tough. It's tough.
I see you down in the basement just sitting there, and it's sad.
Digital video, though.
Digital, but it's amazing. That's what's so great about it. So easy. I just pop the thumb drive, and he's there.
Digital.
Internet.
TikTok.
Bitcoin. Visit LegacyBox.com/TMOS. Take advantage of this limited time offer for 50% off and honor the moments that have shaped your family. Take advantage of this exclusive offer today, and then use the kit whenever you're ready. That's LegacyBox.com/TMOS to save 50% off. LegacyBox.com/TMOS. So we are now at our taping. We are 1 hour away from an emergency meeting called by the Lee County Board of Education and the school board. Right. And we're going to see what happens. And, oh, God. I don't know, boys. To say this is a moment for the O'Mara family is, I think it's maybe a bit of an understatement because we're going to wait and see what they vote. And, you know, it could be as easy as.
Are they carrying it live or do you have to wait to tune in?
Is there like a
stream?
Probably I can get it on a stream. We haven't really decided.
You don't have a news channel 8, which is like a local news channel?
It's a small town, so I mean, yeah. I might hop in the car and even drive down
there.
Lee County.
Do you got a sign? That's Vax It and Tax It.
Vax It and Tax It. Yeah. Come over here then.
I don't want Mike going. Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Carla.
So I don't want Mike going because you know why?
Why?
I never told you this.
Uh-oh. You have the most delicious, lovely coffee breath. Do you just have a cup
I'm
of cappuccino?
I'm having coffee right now.
Yeah. Can you make me one?
No.
Well, that's nice.
And then after you insulted her.
I didn't insult. How did I insult her?
Why do you have to mention her breath? She's just talking.
No, it was beautiful.
It was good breath. Everyone wants coffee breath.
No, this was good coffee breath. Okay. This was fresh coffee breath.
Yeah,
it
you
smells
asked.
Like coffee. I wasn't being an ass.
Yeah,
He just did that.
I do not have bad breath.
You
You're
don't
such
have bad
a
breath.
Dick.
I was not. I'm not being a dick.
You always say I have some kind of breath issue.
No, you have a beautiful. I love the
it
smell.
Has never
he
come
made
up.
That happen, Rob. You were there. You saw it. Do that.
Conjurer. You know what? He has never.
Picking Monday Oscar, I don't know what's going on.
You should say, baby, I love it when you have some sort of, you should say you want the coffee. You should do something positive before you get there.
No, Rob, did I not just say I'd like a cup of coffee based on her?
You plowed over.
No.
I'm with Carla. Team Carla.
No, Team Mike. Right. Team Mike.
Thank you. What were you going to say?
Anyway, I don't think you should go because you're not going to change anybody's mind, but also you might get COVID if you go.
Yeah, that's true. Right? Mm-hmm.
Seriously. Yeah,
that might be the Delta variant just hanging around.
If you go in there, Mike, you'll find someone whose breath smells like COVID.
When did we go mad? Oh, would you make me a cup, please?
Do make him a cup.
Hi, buddy.
Respect the Lord.
Maybe school for you tomorrow. Maybe school for you, Mr. NASA. All right.
Are you ready to go back, or would you like another week?
What?
All right, do you want to go back to school tomorrow, or would you like another week off?
I would like both.
Okay, get out of here.
Wow.
See you
he's
later.
A negotiator. I like that.
Yeah, he's all right. He's all right.
Carla is right now making your son a cup of coffee and not one for you.
Sad. Little cup of Joe. So it's very simple. Will the school board vote to have mandatory masks? That's all. We're not asking for. And by the way, when you want to have the great debate, I don't consider this a debate. What I consider this to be is somewhat of an insurance policy. Mm-hmm. Is there a 100% chance that my son won't get sick or get something if he wears a mask? No. Is it a better chance if everybody is masked that the chances will diminish a bit? I believe it is.
Of course.
And I don't know why. I don't know when this turned into a debate.
When we get news updates locally and it says, the state of Maryland has voted to unanimously mask up for the entire school year.
Mm-hmm.
I just want Mike to receive that.
Yeah,
I want Mike
to simple,
receive that in
it's
Florida.
Just,
but
well, you know
got,
what parents? Yeah, parents just want a little peace of mind. They just want a little peace of mind, except for they have turned it into a thing. They've turned it into this hateful, horrible
thing. It's been driven.
Thing.
The basis for your state and where you're at has been driven by just a terrible governor.
The worst.
And who's sown division. And really, Mike, I sent you a text and an email. And when you get a chance, please check it out. There's an op-ed in the Miami Herald where our friend from the Lincoln Project, Reed Galen, really breaks down what DeSantis really wants. And it has nothing to do with his constituents or the people in Florida. Has everything to do with power.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's playing to his base, right?
That's not just locally. The man wants to run for president. It's crazy.
It's terrifying because the divisions have continued to worsen in our nation, and it just was a bit overwhelming between when you live in a place like we do in Florida and you watch a Cat 4, mm-hmm. which is a very, very large part of our reality mm-hmm. that could happen in a blink of an eye, could happen this season. There are more of them out there that are coming. You watch that and you see the power of it, and it reminded me of what I got upset with last year when this guy, I think, Rob, his name is Tom Sater, who's on the CNN.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And is just, look, when you live here and you're dealing with this, you know how bad it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know how bad. All you want is information. Do you want it soft-pedaled? Absolutely not. Do you want it screaming and doom and gloom like Tom Sater gives it to us? No, we don't want that either. You diminish the idea of how bad it is when you over-dramatize it. Does that make any sense?
You need to be like the guy from your Wink News, I believe, that we had on the show, that is a cut-and-dry fact guy.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's going to be bad news, but you don't need to emphasize it with emotion. It's something that's very real, and if you break it down factually, not only is it more sensible, I think it's going to help people
also
handle it.
Mike, where are we at, hypothetically, in Florida? And I'm just asking your viewpoint, where there's been so much damage done already for the infrastructure of the school system that people are like, okay, fine, let's just wear masks. Let's move up. Let's move.
I think tonight will really go a long way. I would guarantee we've got a majority of party members that are the same party as the governor. And there are many school districts. There are other school districts that have been Republican school districts that have voted for masks. I hope we're one of them. I have some faith in the smarts of a couple of these people. There's one particular member that I don't have any faith in based on her credentials, but I don't know her, never heard her speak, don't know what she has to say. But I will tell you this, that I think and I hope that they're going to do the right thing. I don't think it's a very controversial thing, but it's turned into something controversial. And here we are, parents being a little scared of this, you know. Thank God yesterday that my little spectator sport, the sport of golf, gave me such a little treat with a playoff between...
I watched it.
Between, Mr. Meany Bryson DeChambeau with his cap and the Canadian guy. Who the hell was it? Oh, my
was
God.
It Doug
I'm
I didn't recognize the name.
Doug McKenzie is his name.
Was it Doug
McKenzie? I'll pull it up.
Doug McKenzie. Paul. Oh, my God. I'm blocking on it. See, he doesn't. Everybody knows the evil guy. Everybody knows.
You like the villain.
I'm watching this golf tournament, and it goes like five or six playoff holes with Bryson, who hits at 340 yards. And this guy is out-driving the Canadian player.
Patrick Cantlay.
Patrick Cantlay, and he's out-driving Pat Cantlay every time by 40 yards. And Patrick Cantlay is doing, all he's doing is just steady editing it. And then in the middle of the run-up to the playoff, Bryson is standing over his shot and turns and calls out Cantlay. We're going, Patrick, can you stop walking, please?
Mm-hmm. Oh!
And it's not done. It's not done. Because what you're doing is you're calling him out for being a bad etiquette guy, and Bryson is just a little whiner. He always has been. And suddenly, and then Paul Azinger, who's in the booth, turns it into a grudge match. And
how is Azinger in the booth? Because I've not heard him in
Azinger
the booth.
Azinger gets better every week. Azinger calls him like he sees him, and Azinger loves the controversy. And you know Paul Azinger doesn't like the fancy lad, Bryson DeChambeau.
Sure.
Because most of the tour players don't like Bryson DeChambeau, and Bryson DeChambeau doesn't like Bryson DeChambeau. You got this guy wearing his cap, hits it thousands of yards. By the way, one of the most talented, amazing golfers I've ever seen in my life. But just whiny, 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 and, reminds me of me. And it really is. It's just so, it was fun. And I was able to drift away and float away on this athletic competition and then watch my Giants play preseason football. And I have a prediction based on their last tune-up preseason game against the New England Patriots. The Giants will not win a game this year.
Not one?
Not A1.
It's the first perfect season in the club's history.
They're going down, down, down.
We should
it's going
that,
to be a suck fest.
That Patrick did win. Over
Patrick can't lay one on the last playoff hole, and just with that incredible putting that he had, it's a putting contest.
At any point did
That's
DeChambeau
what pros will tell you?
Any point did DeChambeau turn to him and say, "More like Patrick can't play"? Am I right?
I watched because of I thought maybe that they were manufacturing this little tension between the two players. So you look at the very end when it's conceded and when it's over and. The post-match handshake, I don't know. I'm not even sure how much of a percentage of their fingers touched they went for the handshake.
Really that bad, huh?
It was bidit, nothing said, not a pat on the shoulder, no dignity, and it was
beautiful.
because the nice guy won.
Yes.
The cool guy won.
Yeah.
The guy that wasn't being a whiner, he won. So it was it took me away. And then I drifted to sleep thinking about today when we find out the future, by a bunch of these people that I don't know from Adam that are going to be voting to whether you keep kids safe. And it's apparently they've called it to debate the mask mandate.
This is going to be on the nightly news.
Yeah, I'll let you know tomorrow. I'll text you tonight. I'll let you know exactly how it goes down. So that's it. That's my world. And, let's change it because, Oscar watched The White Lotus and texted us all when he saw this.
Was that not a wonderful moment this weekend?
It was. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the little memes. He's good at those. We'll take a break and we will come back with more fun and more thrills of the Mike O'Meara Show.
And now, a TMOS coronavirus update with P1 listener and healthcare frontline hero, Stephanie Larson.
Listen up, you filthy animals. This is Stephanie Larson. And as many of you know, I'm a nurse in Sacramento, California. I've been in the front lines of this fight against COVID-19 for over a year. This is not a hoax. It's not a joke. Unlike TMOS, it's not funny. People are dying. I see it every goddamn day. Do your part. Wear a mask. And get vaccinated, you selfish p***s. If for no other reason, do it so we can see each other again. At the next TMOS live show. Do you think I like schlepping my happy ass all over the hospital in 100-degree weather in a mask? F*** that. No, I don't. What the f*** is wrong with you people? Get vaccinated, you motherfuckers.
That's nice.
Speaking for nurses all over the country, that's Stephanie Larson. Welcome back to the Mike O'Meara Show. The hot summer months are here, and we need to be proactive to keep our body fueled and hydrated so we can be our best. I'm here to tell you about Liquid IV. One stick of it in 16 ounces of water hydrates faster and more efficiently than water alone, and it tastes great with flavors like watermelon, strawberry, lemon lime, which is the standard. We've all had that for years. It sounds like summer, doesn't it? We live on Liquid IV at TMOS because it makes us feel great and the taste can't be beat. What makes Liquid IV so effective? Cellular transport technology. It's called CTT. It's the optimal ratio of glucose, sodium, and potassium, and it delivers water and nutrients into the bloodstream super fast. Plus, Liquid IV is on a mission to change the world. Products are being donated to hospitals, first responders, food banks, veterans, active military. Liquid IV has donated over 11 million servings globally, and we love it. You're going to love it, too. Grab your Liquid IV in bulk nationwide at Costco, or you can get 25% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code TMOS at checkout. That's 25% off anything you order when you get better hydration today using promo code TMOS at liquidiv.com. All right, let's get the little review out of the way. It's over. It's gone. It's a limited series, but finally Oscar saw the scene,
the
finale. It made an impact on you, didn't it?
Yeah. So first, let me classify this as the guys hyped it up, but didn't hype it up enough to me to be underwhelmed. But I was concerned about just be even keeled going into the finale. The show, which is a comedy dramedy, but not like it's more of a, if you like awkward situations, you're going to love this show because it's just completely awkward.
So like a Curb Your Enthusiasm type vibe sometimes?
No, Curb Your Enthusiasm is a true comedy.
Okay.
This is more like dark dramedy.
Dark.
Yeah.
You have to be a little broken to love this show. I happen to be a little broken, so I love this show.
Me too.
So I ramp it up. I'm like Shannon, the guys. I've been watching Sons of Anarchy. What's the show we love?
Animal Kingdom
with the guys that are topless all the time.
Yes.
Yeah. So a lot of dudes in that. So we wrap up Animal Kingdom.
No Ellen Barkin on that show anymore.
No, no. She's, no spoiler alert, she's no longer on the show for one reason or another. But a younger Ellen Barkin that is portrayed.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, she's a pretty lady.
By a 10, a 10 in my eyes, that doesn't like to wear a bra. That's the new thing.
And we'll call her.
Was a thing then.
Helen Barkin.
So.
Yellen Barkin.
Yeah.
What I.
Nice smelling Barkin.
Took away from.
Got me Kvelin Barkin.
The finales that the gentlemen were on point. Shocking scene. I texted the gentleman as soon as the scene was done. There were questions about the special effects. Without spoiling anything, there happens to be a gentleman with extreme, extreme quad and hamstring strength.
Core.
Yeah, core. Yeah. He had a core, his quads, his hamstrings all engaged for the scene.
You think it was real?
No, it wasn't real. But it was there a premium for the special effects that needed to be made for this type of trade craft.
All I know is that if that's what you do in Hollywood, it's very niche.
Well, and also, it looked so real. It was so impressive. Where I sat, I was like, man, I got to rewind this and look at this again. And it's not really my thing, but it was
I felt no need to rewind it.
Well,
and Oscar, Oscar sent us a meme of a of squatting. Two of them, actually.
Yes. The first one was the trainer from The Biggest Loser yelling squat.
Mm-hmm. Right, and then another one of a young lady doing an exercise, fully clothed. Well, in workout wear, that was just, for whatever reason, difficult not to just continuous. I'm watching it right now.
It's phenomenal.
I just can't. I can't stop watching that
you know,
video.
What's great is if you look at if your stream is the same on your phone, if you just move that down just a little bit, you go from that squat meme to a picture of Robert Portner. Civil War hero for the North.
That's how wild our show is.
I want to tell you, it's wild. Wild.
I didn't find any satisfaction in the finale, though.
No, I didn't either. I thought it was kind of meh.
I've heard a lot of people say that it tapered off.
Carrie didn't like it either. Yeah, it did. It tapered off a lot. It was not...
pardon the expression.
It was not tapered off. Tapered.
I did not mean that.
It coiled. It threw off the mortal coil.
Like, I wanted the Hawaiian kid to... I wanted that to end a little differently.
We're not going to give a spoiler alert, okay?
No, we're not.
But I like it when the Hawaiian kid, goes out to row that canoe and they give him Tootsie Rolls. That's it. That's fun.
Well, and I also thought, this is going to give it away. I thought there was going to be a glass table involved, but there wasn't.
No, he was just wasted and he was obnoxious. Last night in the O'Mara household, right after the golf tournament, I was so engaged in the golf tournament that I didn't realize that down here in our 95 to 96 degree everyday heat, my air conditioning unit had gone, beer.
Oh, no.
Carly comes home from her mom's house and says, hey, it's hot in here. I said, I'm sorry. I was watching the playoff. I didn't notice. There are certainly, look, we tank on Florida all the time.
Sure.
But I bet you guys could not have done what I did last night. All right.
What's that?
I call this.
You opened the suitcase.
I've seen these trucks. I worked on my quads. No. I'd seen these trucks with this company.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I said, you know, this is the time to do it. I call. They got a certain fee for regular calls.
Yeah.
It's like $90 to come out and look and do all that. Pretty standard stuff. They added a surcharge on that for an after hours. I think it's about 5 o'clock that I made this phone call.
On a Sunday.
On a Sunday. I believe I had a gentleman walking in my house, fully skilled, fully smart, fully knowledgeable by 6 p.m.
Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing.
Fully fixed and also cleaned the entire system by probably 7 p.m. Maybe a little
that
after.
That could not happen in the D.C. area.
No,
they
no.
just couldn't.
They would say, like, we got something after hours next Tuesday.
Spectacular. We signed up, by the way. We went further.
Well,
you know, normally when they try to upsell you, you said you got a lot of mold in that line and we have an ultraviolet thing that costs this much. I said, do it. It came out here. I'll give you every upsell you want.
I will give some credit to a company that we use here, and I use at the house. They actually have commercial. And a free plug, Mike, if I may.
Go ahead.
Academy Heating and Air Conditioning.
All right.
They will get you taken care of. They will, 100%. I don't
know
about
a Sunday
deal, but it's also a family-owned company, right? So
like
it's like
that.
You get somebody on, they actually are part of the family, they're like, we're going to get this done. Let me add this. It's a quick sidebar to you. The idea of people, and Mike, maybe this is a DC area thing, that we're so used to people telling us no.
Yeah.
Like they have the joy of telling you no.
They love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, get
a little. We get a lot of it. Let's get somebody to pick up a phone on a Sunday was just out
that's
of
amazing.
Shot. And then,
that's amazing.
I mean, I felt this triumph last night because of this guy, Brandon. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much from Certified Air.
There you go.
Thank you. Small company, giving them the plug-a-roo. And it was just great to have that in the win column. It made my night. It was spectacular.
What was the issue? What was the issue? Did he tell you?
The issue was a water backup, which caused a sensor to shut the thing down. There was seepage. And there was also... He put a little camera in there, showed me a little vid. This is all happened.
Oh,
shows me a video and said, I'm going to clean your line out and it's going to be...
What?
Did he also... Did he leave the camera in your bathroom?
Did you ask him for the model number? Did you? Yeah, you get that on Amazon?
No, but we got an old unit. We got an old unit and he told me, you're fine. Your unit's fine.
That's
great. It's just a little dirty and I don't think it's been properly cleaned. So he cleaned it and he put a little ultraviolet thing for a mold inhibitor and, and happy, joy,
that's
joy.
The best.
Let's talk more about this camera. Like, what, did it have a snake head on the top? Like,
you saw it snake. It kind of looked like a metal version of a colon. Colonoscopy.
Wow.
Really did.
Yeah.
Snake it in there.
Did he
man.
Have to winch it? Like, was it like how did it go?
I'm
up
watching
there?
The Giants game in the living room. I'm not going out there and standing next to the guy.
Yeah,
you
want
to see how they do it?
I know. I don't want to.
You should have gone out.
Stand next to the workman. If the workman is competent, I'm Amscray. Let him do his
you
thing.
You should have been standing next to him with your hand lightly on his shoulder.
I like standing next to him and saying, is that metric? You guys use the metric? What are you guys using?
What is that, full color?
He was terrific. Brandon was terrific. And, and it was a good thing.
Are you suspect?
By the way, you like the new color of my iPhone?
I love it.
It's very
this
subtle.
Is old man, this is old Mike, man doesn't lose his phone anymore.
I have this. So you don't lose your phone.
That's how. If it's black, it's on the bottom of your
you
car
can never
and you
find
can't
it.
Find
that's
it.
Right. Yes.
Get that. Shan's got a red one. Same deal.
No, TikTok.
Bitcoin.
This is such a stupid show.
It is a stupid show, but we do have to pay the bills.
We
so
do.
We have to
Let's
take a
do
break.
That. Yes.
When we come back, is it time for you already?
Yeah, it's time to double
it's
D.
It's time.
Okay, digital dumpster. Who will be dead inside?
Good tease.
And Rob, tomorrow you review those movies you saw.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, do it. And drinking sucks. And the intern fair. We missed a lot today. We'll be right back.
It's the new game show that's sweeping the nation and...
the world.
It's a chance for you to guess a popular celebrity based on 10 clues.
Good!
No, sorry.
I've got it!
Yes, you in the front.
Who the F is it?
Right you are. The Heartland is going gaga with...
Who the F is it?
Yes.
America's favorite comedy game show.
With plenty of chances to win big.
Who's going to win the Power Porsche?
Call your friends and tell your parole officer. It's the game show they can't afford to miss.
Who the F is it?
The highlight of my day.
Starring
the lovely and talented and oh so sweet and nice.
Michael Mara.
Keep it locked to this podcast for...
Who the F is it? Who is this guy talking about?
Wow. Oh, keep them coming, guys. I love them. Makes it bigger than it is. When it comes to losing weight, there's a lot of pressure to label foods. These are bad. Don't eat that.
Sure.
Don't do this. Don't that. Like, it creates a lot of dilemmas. Noom is here to change how we see food with a psychology-based approach. Or psychology-based approach.
Psychology. We base it in psychology.
You a psychology major?
I have to go see the psychologist.
I don't think he's really ill. I think it's psychosomatic.
Hey, see that new movie from Alfred Hitchcock, Sicko?
Sicko.
You win.
psychology-based approach. It looks not only at what you eat, but also how you eat. Instead of making you feel guilt or regret, they empower you to keep going. Everybody's journey is different, so Noom customizes a program for you based on your personal goals. I love that no food is... By the way, I never got my coffee. Speaking of...
Of course not.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Do you want
no
me to
food
text
is
her?
No,
she's probably
playing
psychological games with you.
If you have an off day, Noom says relax. They will gently help you get back on track. Noom only asks for 10 minutes of your day to teach you about your eating habits and check in on your progress. If you doubt me, more than 80% of users complete the program. More than 60% of users lose 5% or more of body weight. And 60% of them keep the weight off for a year or more. One size does not fit all. Choose your goals, and Noom will personalize a weight loss program just for you. You're going to love Noom. I mean that. Oscar loves Noom. Carla's never looked better. There's a science to getting healthier. It's called Noom. Start building better habits for healthier long-term results. Sign up for your trial at Noom.com/TMOS. That's Noom.com/TMOS. Now let's go to the big old dumpster and see what's happening on the Mike Carrera
show. I texted your lovely wife.
Sock it to me.
Mike, it's the late President Richard Nixon in the dumpster.
Oh, it's Richard Nixon.
Sock it to me.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
Hold workplace on. Tested, Gronk approved. What's going on? What are you showing me?
What is it?
When did it happen?
Wait, hold on a second.
Wait, hold on. We have breaking news.
Breaking news. Tippity.
Is this legit?
What?
The Lee County School District will now require masks for teachers and students, eliminating the opt-out form.
Yeah! Woo!
Yeah, is this real? What is this coming from? What is the news source, you know?
I don't know.
Snopes.com.
Snopes. That's great.
Big
school
red
superintendent
Big
made
red
the announcement Monday.
Yes.
No debate needed.
Yes.
Excellent.
Just do it, people.
Martial law.
I'll vote for her. I'm voting now for our lady. That's good.
Our lady of good decisions.
Yep.
Our lady of good
time
decisions.
Time to cancel that check
tomorrow.
To our lady of high tuition.
You tell our boy, get his books together.
Yeah, start bathing now. Yeah. Scrub.
I hope he stays safe. You know, we always say wash the hands.
All right, Rob,
I'm sorry.
I had
to jump in with
cancel
that since
nanny.
I was talking
all right.
about that.
Richard Nixon.
Sock it to me.
And we turn the page to Mike Shannon. Do you know the name?
Michael Shannon is a famous actor who's been in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, but not that guy. This is an 82-year-old radio announcer for the Cardinals. And to be fair, before we play this tape that was trending over
football
the weekend.
Football or baseball?
Baseball. This is his last year announcing for the Cardinals, and perhaps that's best. This is an unedited portion of the radiocast, where they're talking about NFTs. Oscar, there.
Yes, non-fungible tokens.
Exactly.
Bitcoin.
Now is your chance to come digital.
That voice is Mike Shannon, Mike. Just so you
that,
know.
Jesus.
Now is your chance to come digital. You can bid now on one-on-one Busch Stadium NFT. What's NFT mean? Mike Claiborne, what's an NFT? No friggin' touchdowns. No. No friggin' tonsils. Here's a strikeout number 5. NFT stands for non-fungible token, a digital token that's a type of a cryptocurrency. Man, they have words in here I've never heard before. But unlike a standard coin in the Bitcoin NFT is
he loaded?
No.
And can't be exchanged non-fungible. Online thing you can't sell. Well, I don't use the online, so that's why I don't know.
I don't use online. He's 82.
You know what?
Hello.
This is a producer's
fault. Radio.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, radio executives. Who are the guys that get the lifetime contracts?
I don't use online.
I blame the producer. They should have said, hey.
Popped it in his ear.
Now, or There's some Copia coming up. I know you're not online because we got to call your home phone every time we want to talk to you.
Yeah, the landline.
There's some new technology.
Well, also, the thing here, the sometimes the answer is in the question. He actually asked his younger co-host, and I'm just guessing he's younger.
You think that guy wants to slash that guy's tires?
Yeah,
he's not going to help him out.
So he's not, he doesn't, give that copy to the young guy. All right, Mike, drumming news times two. They took their time and they put together a beautiful.
By the way, I hate to interrupt again, but
yeah,
I'm sorry because I think we may be being hoodwinked. I'm not sure.
What happened?
I'm just checking because I don't see it on any of the major news sources
and
down
also
here.
Also, the meeting was to be at 5, right?
Yep.
Yeah, but
yep.
You can
special meeting Monday evening on mask policies for Lee County.
Think we were burned? Trolled?
I don't know.
Man, that would be a sick joke.
That would be. Not funny.
Yeah. No, I'll let you know.
Mike, I'll ask Mike Shannon. I'll call him in St. Louis.
God, it's as local as it gets down here.
Yeah.
Duh.
Yeah. The Rolling Stones, check their social media if you want to see the full video of this, did a gorgeous tribute to Charlie Watts. And I had forgotten that Mick's nickname for him was the Wembley Whammer. Here's just some of the portion of it, and it's marvelous, and you really should see the entire 2.5-minute piece, but here's just the highlight.
When the Stones asked me to join, they talked in terms of a band, you know, commitment, in other words. So I thought, oh, this will go on a year, and then next year, it'll fold up.
From this sacred turf, the Wembley Whammer, Mr. Charlie Watts.
It's worthy of your time, folks. Take a peek at it. Now, it's in terms of younger drummers, you don't know the name, but I'm sure you know the story. Nandi Bushell or Bushell is the one.
Oh, this is a great story. This is a great story.
She's the one that I think it was on Instagram.
Yeah.
Struck up a friendship with Dave Grohl of the Foo Fighters, and they did some drumming battles that they posted online.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Foo Fighters was playing a big gig in L.A. over the weekend, and they bring her out. Now, the Foo Fighters is known. Or are owed. I guess
they are known.
They are known for bringing out great guests all the time during their shows.
Right.
So he starts to tease it. And who do they bring out on stage but 11-year-old Nandi Bushell to play with the Foo Fighters at a huge rock concert?
We've had the honor to jam with some pretty amazing people over the years. Maybe some Beatles, maybe some Stones, maybe some Pink Floyds. Let me tell you something. This one right now takes the cake.
She's 11.
Wow.
But she's... And she's good.
She's great.
I mean, she's not like rock star good, but the fact that she's there is so cool.
Yeah, that's very cool.
And so fun is you can... It's a, you know, just a iPhone capture, but even at the distance, you can see her smiling. It's so great.
And so little.
That's
very
awesome.
Tiny. All right,
I'd love to do that when I was that age. That would have been so cool.
Mm-hmm. Let's close out with this. Dateline Atlanta, Mike. There was a van stolen from a mortuary. And that's unfortunate. It was really unfortunate when the gurney and the body rolled out of the back of it.
No. There was a body on a gurney inside the van at the time. The hatch was open. So when the suspect did take off, the gurney did roll out of the back the van. Our suspect did strike a couple of vehicles. Ultimately, he hit a trailer of some sort and blew a tire.
The weird thing is when the gurney rolled past a drugstore and the body said, "Do you have something to stop this coughing?"
Bada bing, bada boom. He's
that's
been
your
waiting
digital
all day,
all weekend,
I'm
all weekend for that one.
Joke.
That's what he's got.
Yeah. Welcome, America.
It was Johnny Knoxville. Anyway, we got to get out of here. I'll let you know
if we just announced
that Carly got on her phone from somebody with
maybe
a picture of Gronk.
Maybe it was
an
alert.
No alerts so far. Isn't that interesting?
Hey, Mike, I just got a text from Morley Safer.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. For Rob Speedwagon, Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara saying have a great night, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye, everybody.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
If that's a joke, I love it. If not, I cannot wait to unpack that with you.
How would you like to be told that about your child?
He's minimally exceptional.
Oh, thank God for that.
Who did they go to war with? The world.